This week, a dean at Hampton University, a historic black university in Virginia, banned its MBA students from wearing dreadlocks and cornrows. In an era of stark individualism, where anything can be said, worn, or done, it's refreshing for a university to set standards. Dreadlocks and cornrows have become staple hairstyles, particularly among millennials. Hampton University's hair lockout will undoubtedly pit old-school traditionalists against supposed wayward youth. But the politics of hair involve more than just conflicts between generations. This is about who gets to shape professionalism, gender, and race. In his magnum opus, Souls of Black Folk, W.E.B. Du Bois penned, "How does it feel to be a problem?" Du Bois believed he needed to see himself through the tinted glasses of racism as a black man. He also found a need to see himself as American, the conflict, a double consciousness. Wearing dreadlocks or cornrows can be at odds with the assumptions of being American. I know this all too well. Unfortunately, police set the ticket price for proudly wearing my dreadlocks that ran down my back like rainwater. At least in New Orleans, black and white people recognized my hair as part of a thug's uniform. I saw it as being me. Institutions of higher learning see people as potential scholars regardless of hairstyle. Particularly at liberal arts institutions, hair should be considered a choice of individual expression. However, I believe that most who wear dreadlocks or cornrows are no more conscious of what they project or how they are perceived than those who see it as thuggery. Many who wear dreadlocks are more likely to quote Lil Wayne than Du Bois. In trying to understand what it means to be black and American, too many find comfort in the superficial. Whether it's the length of our hair or what the notorious B.I.G. affectionately called money, hoes, and clothes, blackness has become more about style than about community. This is why historically black universities share a role in defining what it means to be an intellectual as a black American. Clearly, there's a danger in encouraging self-hate or assimilationism. This is the case for many public schools that enforce harebrained uniform policies that are detached from their racialized social context. For these schools, to be a scholar is to have a short haircut and a Midwestern accent. Many schools don't understand how hair can be used to develop cultural understanding and academic growth. However, as a higher education administrator, I see and hear how students matriculate in colleges as if they were banks or supermarkets. Students enroll, get products they assume they need, and then leave. Undergrads and graduate students don't see themselves as a community, even less part of a legacy. Community and legacy require standards. There's enough diversity among our historically black colleges that a few can set seemingly superficial standards of what it means to be a scholar. Bans on hair won't make people any blacker or smarter, but university policies should get us to think deeply about what is and what is not acceptable in becoming better human beings.